Hey friends, just wanted to drop a quick note. If you are a teacher or an administrator in the school and you're looking for a tool, a resource that can help better engage your students, that can get them more all in on the classroom experience and overall elevate the classroom and school experience for the students, then you need to take advantage of our Lead 'Em Up classroom. We officially have launched our Lead 'Em Up classroom so teachers and administrators can begin utilizing the same powerful curriculum that coaches have been utilizing since 2015, but now in the classroom. Available through a school-wide rollout or even a single teacher within a single classroom, whatever best suits your needs, take advantage of the Lead 'Em Up classroom and allow your students to experience the same power and growth that our student athletes have been experiencing for years. Take advantage of our Lead 'Em Up classroom. Make sure you bring this into your school. You don't want to go another school year without the Lead 'Em Up influence within your student body. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam alongside Kyle. And today, Kyle, we're going to be talking about, is playing it safe safe? You know, there's a lot of people that want to play it safe, but is it actually safe? And as we kind of think about that theme, we're going to evaluate the area of the green team to which we teach that is often referenced as safe. And it's this area of the gray. You know, greens are these high performers, these high achievers that are moving things forward. And you take risk sometimes. You get out of your comfort zone at times. You become vulnerable at times. You challenge people. You do all these things in leadership that are helping drive you forward, drive your team forward. And we call that green. Then we've also got these individuals on the green team that are at the bottom of the scale that are red. And they're challenging. And they create friction and tension. They engage in behaviors that cause us to move away from winning rather than towards winning. But then you've got this space in the middle, and we call that our gray. And you know, in many cases, it is them being comfortable, doing just enough, taking the easy route, quote unquote, playing it safe. Well, you know, there's a lot of a focus about building green, because we obviously want to build something special. So understandably, right, we talk a lot about that. We also talk a lot about reds and how do we handle them? How do we get them out of the red? How do we lead them up? And how do we cut ties with them maybe, right? When do you cut ties with a red? There's so much discussion about red in our interactions and engagement with reds. And it's almost as if gray is forgotten at times. They're just kind of in man's land of sorts. They're just kind of in the limbo. But I think you have to really examine the impact gray has on your team and ask yourself the question, is playing it safe, safe? Is being in the gray okay? Is it okay? Like, does it produce harm? Is it safe? Is it helping us? Is it hurting us? And really examine, because I believe there's a responsibility and that those grays have to engage in. There's a mindset that they have to understand. And we as coaches have to change our perspective of those players on our team that are relatively neutral, that are gray. Because I believe when you look at it through the lens that we're going to tee up today, you're going to realize that if you don't put time and attention to that, those in the gray, it may not be safe for you. Kyle, now, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think we have to call attention to it. As you said, it's often the one that gets the least amount of attention because it's the one that's not the squeaky wheel and not the one necessarily being celebrated. But when you look at the dynamics of any team, the people in the middle, the gray, are the vast majority. And if left by itself, that safe space, it's safe for those people there. But if you leave that to itself, it can quickly become something that's dangerous for the overall welfare of the team. So that's why we need to spend some time and talk about it. Is this is something that is under the surface a little bit, but if we're not intentional with the development and how we approach the gray, can quickly become a problem for the team success.
So there's going to be two rules of the green team that we're going to build on during this episode. Rule three talks about those in the gray will sway, while rule five talks about those in the red are great recruiters. Think about those two rules as we go in. So rule three, those in the gray will sway. It's a reminder to all of us in leadership that those in the middle will go either way. And I always love asking athletes, okay, they sway. Great. We all get that. Which way do they sway? Which then opens up an answer from players that where they almost always get, it depends on the environment and it depends on those around them. You're totally right. Mm-hmm. Right. So if I enter into a green team, then I'll most likely sway upward in my leadership and my character. I'll elevate and kind of reach a higher standard, as opposed to then if I hang and surround myself in a red environment around reds, I'll probably sway down into this red place. So grays will sway, but the most important thing is not about what causes them to sway. It's just the reality that they will. They will 100% sway because they don't feel strong and convicted enough to live in the green, or they're not disciplined enough or driven enough or passionate enough or consistent enough to live in the green. They don't have the character to get them to that level currently. But they're also not as problematic and as challenging as the red. So they're not down in that space. So they will sway, though, because they will at times lean up and will at times lean down. But then building on the second rule that we're going to examine today and its effect is those in the red like to recruit. Now, when we say recruit, we're not recruiting for college.
No.
It's not a recruiting attempt in that regard. It is this pulling down of this recruiting of others down their to their level, the lowering of the standards, pulling down of others that reds tend to do. And we're going to get into the deep psychology of understanding why do they recruit and what happens. But recognizing those two rules as a baseline for today's conversation, those in the gray will sway. Those in the red like to recruit. Now, Kyle, how do they recruit? Do they RSVP and send out email invites?
No, it's just it's the subtle things every single day. It's the body language. It's the sidebar conversations on the sideline when coach is talking. It's, the messages that they're sending outside of the team environment, who they're listening to outside the team environment, the way that they talk to others, just the daily interactions that might go unnoticed by most is really kind of like it's almost like an eroding factor on the team. It's not something that just happens and it's one big thing, but it's that subtle kind of chipping away at the positivity of the green, of the culture that you want to have by those interactions. And then again, it's just trying to get people to feel comfortable getting into that toxic mentality of the blaming, the complaining, and kind of the pointing of the fingers.
You're totally right. I love that illustration of chipping away. That's kind of what happens. It's not overnight. It's little by little. I often reference it as the slanting of one's perspective.
Right.
Get a kid who's excited for today's workout, and all of a sudden one kid's like, for real, today's going to suck. It's just like, it's like a slant, like they're slanting everything to the red and trying to shift people's perspective. You know, it's, I'm trying to focus, but you keep clowning and you get me to start clowning and goofing off, right? Little by little, the slanting of perspective, this chipping away, we call that recruiting, and slowly they bring people down. They cause people to be less green because of their behavior and character and leadership. So as we're teeing this up and we're asking the question, well, what about those in the gray? We wrestle with this reality, as we alluded to earlier, that the grays aren't on the surface, problematic. They're not keeping us up at night. They're not causing us to have, you know, parent-teacher meetings.
Right.
They aren't, you know, causing us these issues. So we have these tendencies to then gloss over them or to kind of think they're fine. They're not bothering us. They're not creating any issues for us. So we tend to just kind of don't put them in the priority of focus for us because they're there, they're showing up, they're doing their job, not special by any means. They're just there. Listen, I've got bigger fish to fry. I've got other fires to put out, and it's usually not gray is the fire that I'm putting out. So they tend to just kind of get pushed back a little bit in our intentionality and leadership where we don't focus on them as much. But we have to recognize some realities here on team dynamics. Rule 5, those in the red like to recruit. Kyle, so important for our coaches to recognize, why do reds recruit? Like the deep latent desires, when you think latent, the deep stirring desires deep down.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, we kind of nail 2 reasons that reds recruit.
Yeah. You know, the first one, it points to our desire to be with others. They don't want to be isolated. They don't want to feel left alone. So they want to be affirmed. We talk about they want to feel affirmation. They want to feel like their stance, their view, their behavior is validated and that it's okay and they're not in the wrong. And when they have company that joins them, right, that kind of leads to the second point is like the community aspect of it. So they want to feel like they're not in the wrong, that they're validated. But when they're able to surround themselves and get other people with them, then it's not like, oh, it's me. This is everybody. This is a group. I'm not the one that's the problem. This is something that is the coach's problem. Like, and it's easy then again to point to the blaming. It's easier to complain about everything because you have those 2 components that they're really looking for there, the affirmation and the community aspect.
And you're totally right. And let's go deeper on those. Affirmation. They want affirmation. Think about it. When I'm annoyed, when you're annoyed and you want to just go vent, you know who to go to. You know who your people are. You know the people that will hear you out, that will listen. You know, think about how many people in our world when they get, you know, or they get frustrated, annoyed, or they have a stance on something, they go around and try to like enter into an echo chamber. They go to try to find the people that they know will agree with them, that will validate and affirm their stance. So, and they know who to go to, and they also know who not to go to.
Right.
Because they know some people won't side with them, won't support their belief, won't support their feeling just blindly. They'll challenge them maybe, or maybe ask hard questions. Reds don't want the hard questions asked. They just want people to affirm them and agree with them. Yeah, you right. Yeah, coach ain't treating you right. Yeah, you should be playing more. Man, I think you're better too. Like they just want to be gassed up, right? They want people that will just gas them up and affirm them. So they go around looking in their recruiting attempts for people that will affirm them. Now, here's the reality. Greens won't blindly affirm them, most likely. They may challenge them. They may call out and say, listen, you need to look at yourself, or you may need to reconsider. You know what? Maybe you haven't been doing all the right things. But you know who is ripe for the picking? In affirmation, it is grays.
It's grays because they don't want to have confrontation. And more than likely, the grays know that the behavior or whatever is being complained about is wrong, but they won't challenge the person in the red because they want to avoid conflict. They want to avoid any potential problems. They just want things to be the way that they are. And that's the problem with the grays is they produce the environment where those reds are like, oh, okay, it's okay, because I know that this person isn't going to push back. They know that they're not going to challenge me. And then the numbers start to shift.
So these reds, they will go to the grays because mm-hmm. they are ripe for influence, because remember rule 3, those in the gray will sway. So I know they'll have my back. Now, the crazy thing about a gray is they'll also have the back of a green if the green tries to sway them, because they play both sides, because
whoever they're around,
whoever they're around. They're the ultimate chameleon. They're the ultimate, I want to be cool. They'll try to fit in on both sides. They won't stand strong enough to either party, right, to necessarily show their level of conviction, because they care just not enough to fight for it or get overly uncomfortable. So overly uncomfortable is looking at a red and not affirming if that red is wrong. It's challenging them. But no, they don't care enough. They're not willing to get uncomfortable enough. They're not willing to embrace rule six of the green team to fight, right, for the green team. So all of a sudden, if I'm red and I go around looking for affirmation, I know I can find it from my reds. Oh, that's easy. I always find it from them. But this vast majority that you alluded to earlier that live in the gray, man, I go to the grays and all of a sudden it is fantastic, Kyle. Oh my gosh, I have landed in the jackpot because I get to go to all those grays and all of them individuals affirm me. Oh, they all make me feel validated in my feeling. They all support me. Oh,
they laugh at my jokes.
They crack jokes. Like, so I go to the grays and I recruit them because they will sway and they're easily swayed. And oh my gosh, now all of a sudden I feel great in my red behavior. But you alluded to a second part. They also want company.
Yeah.
Or community. It's why they say misery loves company. No one ever says misery loves isolation. No one says misery loves loneliness. They love company. They love community. So one of the other reasons they recruit is not only for affirmation to make them feel better in their current posture, but when they begin to build a community around their posture or around their red behavior, then what happens? It begins to normalize their red behavior. Now, all of a sudden, I don't stand out as being red because we all act this way. We all engage in this behavior. We all think this way. And if I can recruit people to my thinking, then all of a sudden, I don't stand out any longer. The last thing someone in the red wants is everyone to be green, because now I stand out like a sore thumb, right? I am the thorn amongst the roses because everyone's in. I'm the problem child. Well, I don't want that level of attention. So what do? No. I need to recruit people. I need company around me to normalize my red behavior. I already have a few reds around me already. So who do I go to recruit? Who do I go to fill that party, that company, create that community? Oh, I go to the grays because they'll sway.
Right. They'll be right there with me.
Here is what we have to wrestle with as coaches. And this has been a major perspective shift for us as a team. You have to wrestle with this potential reality that our grays today may become our reds tomorrow. Now, granted, one could argue, well, they also could become the greens tomorrow. You're right. They could. But what's easier? Is it easier to be red or is it easier to be green? Well, it's easier to be red. So 100%. If grays have tendencies to do just enough, then it won't scare them to do a little less. What will challenge them is to do a little more because they've become accustomed to doing a little less. And nobody's afraid of doing a little or no, if they've become accustomed, sorry, to doing just enough. And no one's afraid of doing a little less. And the recruiting pool of red is very intense. It's very intense. And it oftentimes is very loud. And there's this realization that we have to wrestle with that our grays today may become our reds tomorrow. And even more likely is that it is our grays that are normalizing the behavior of the reds, causing them not to feel urgency to leave and change.
Yeah, they're creating that environment. And while you've been kind of talking there, it reminds me of what happened. I used to teach sociology. So there was this study about like New York City crime. And you think back to like the mid 80s, late 80s, and talking about like when it was really considered the most dangerous city on earth. And especially in America, it had that connotation to it. So in order to combat that, in order to turn it around, what they started doing was every night with the subway cars, when there was graffiti on the cars, they would paint over the graffiti. And by doing so, it eliminated the environment that let pickpocketers or just like petty thieves or, you know, criminals think that it was okay for this to happen in that environment. And then I would relate that to like the school setting in bathrooms all across the country right now. I'm sure you've seen this, Adam, but it's a real problem with like vandalization going on in the bathrooms, vaping, whatnot, or whatever. So after that study, it was kind of proven that once they cleaned up the cars and there was no more graffiti there, that the crime rates went down because that association of like, this is something that's not going to be tolerated was now had, and that environment wasn't present anymore. So with that, we kind of made it a focus of like, when you go into the bathroom, pick up the paper towels that are on the floor, throw them away, even if you didn't do it, and just making sure that it's tidy. Because if a kid walks in there and they go into the bathroom and there's paper towels all over the floor, they're more likely to think like, doesn't matter. It's already dirty in here. What's one more thing going to do? What's one more thing? So I think when we can kind of approach it through that lens of our team of like, we have to eliminate the things that give the impression that the behavior is okay and like the tolerance of it. So the small little things here or there, maybe it's like joking with a teammate, but you're not really joking. It's kind of like making fun of them. And you know that the kid's maybe laughing a little bit, but it's hurtful. Like those things have to be eliminated. Like when coach is talking, the sidebar conversations where people are just kind of not paying attention, you know, in football, it's a kid that picks the grass and throws it on the kid in front of them, squirting the water when coach is like going over things. Nothing that's extremely negative, but like those little things that we said before that you add them up over time and it just chips and chips and chips away. And then finally the gray is just like, that's just easier to go along with it than to challenge them. And the greens, it's harder for them because they're fighting an uphill battle and there's no one there to support them. And they feel then that they're isolated. So it has to be something we call attention to on the ones in the middle. That's going to really direct what happens with your team is what happens with the people in the middle.
So therefore the focus needs to be increased on the middle. But that goes against our contrary to our tendency, because our tendency is to, I don't want to say ignore the middle because it's not at that level, but just kind of gloss over the middle to some degree. And for us, we can't. I mean, I love that illustration.
About it in the classroom. I mean, I know we've got teachers that are listening to it. The kids that are your high achievers, they get a lot of support. They get a lot of extracurriculars. They got a lot of programs that can help the kids that are your high achievers in the classroom, things that can really get them to the next level, you know, whether it's in high school or what they're going for collegially. You have the kids at the bottom that might be discipline issues, maybe it's grades, attendance, whatever. There's a lot of support that's built in for those individuals. It's very, very easy for the kids in the middle to just fly under the radar and never get anything. And that is because there's not a lot of attention called to it because they're not causing a problem. Well, they're doing fine. They're okay. And when we look at it on our team, that's we can't just ignore them, because when left to be by itself, just the way that our culture and society is, that negative influence is going to have a very heavy influence on them.
So, and it goes to pain. There's not much pain.
Right.
That's a good point. So we don't put our attention to it because there's not pain there.
Hello, this is Kevin Williams from Chick-fil-A and author of Irrational Kindness. And this is today's leadership nugget. I love the question that has been asked, how do you know when someone needs encouragement? Followed by the answer, when they are breathing. That's right, we all need encouragement. We begin to see coworkers as where they are going instead of where they are today. And that encouragement and understanding, maybe that is the win they need to get their sales going. We begin to see customers not as transactions, but as a person that needs a lift up. And our smile can be just that. We all can pour into others, not as know-it-alls, just as intentional time spent caring and sharing with someone that needs a lift up. Now, let's get back to the episode.
I think one thing through today's conversation, I want us to zoom out and recognize it's almost like a quiet killer in the gray. It's almost like you don't see it like eroding you. You don't see it eroding your body. It's like something quietly killing your body. You don't see it happening, but like it's happening. You have to really like look for it. I think this is the same thought here. Like, see, grays give life to reds. They give life to reds. And they do that by normalizing their red behavior.
Right.
And because of that, you have to then view it and say, hold on. I have to start paying closer attention to my grays, because if grays are giving life, they are propping up. They are promoting, they are laughing with, they are supporting with, they are encouraging quietly all the behaviors of reds, then you know what? You have to recognize and say, you know what? It could be the grays that are creating the problems, because they're normalizing the behaviors of the reds. They're actually helping produce the environment. So all of a sudden I've got two guys. I got the guy who always cracks the joke and is problematic, red. Obviously, that person's an issue. But this gray kid who's a relatively good kid who does relatively all the right things, but is the one that's also always laughing at all the jokes, always quietly egging them on, right? Always quietly like laughing after, dapping it up after. That gray is fueling the red. So we can't just sit here and say, well, how do we get rid of the reds? We have to recognize the role grays have in this equation. And because grays sway, they are red at times. But because grays are often also the vast majority, when they become red, you now all of a sudden begin normalizing that behavior to almost be the norm.
Yeah. What you tolerate, you encourage.
So what is the solution? If you're going to... It's a reminder for us as teams, really, when you wrestle with the green team, green, gray, and red, we know red is bad and challenging. We know green is good. Gray cannot be viewed as neutral. It is not a net neutral. It is actually more of a negative than a neutral. 100%, it is more of a negative than a neutral. Those in the gray today most likely will become reds tomorrow. They will normalize red behavior. They will actually give life to those in the gray. Here's the reality. Our grays need to be led to the green. How do you build a thriving, high-performing culture that does not normalize going below the standards, that does not experience excessive slippage, does not experience low performance regularly? It is when you get everybody all in and you begin to get to the point where gray is no longer viewed as some okay dynamic, some acceptable, tolerable position. Just knowing human tendency is that life is tough. There are plenty of reasons to drift and to slip. And as our friend, leadership coach, not friend, but I listened to him on podcast last, I don't know, Craig Rochelle, he hosts a leadership podcast. Teams always drift away from excellence, never towards it.
Yeah.
There's always just this natural pull downward. No one just, there's not a gravitational pull upward, right? People just aren't accidentally becoming more excellent. No, it's a gravitational pull downward away from excellence. So if gray sways and there's this natural gravitational pull down away from excellence, you have to then look at it and say, if I ignore the grays, they will eventually slip to the point of red. I can't ignore the grays any longer. I need to be even more intentional with the grays. I need to aggressively and passionately pursue the growth of the grays. I need everyone on this team all in green.
That's why it has to be an ongoing process. And that's why mission statements don't work, because you can't just write something and put it on a wall and think that it's going to affect the individuals, because again, there's the natural tendency for that downward slide. You have to have something that you're calling them to, and it's got to be something that you're working towards on a consistent basis. It can't just be a one and done type of thing at the beginning of the year. You can't fall into the trap that I did of thinking that quotes and things like that are going to be the ones that are solely doing it. It's got to be something that, whether it's lead them up or something, you know, that's in line with what we do, it has to be something that you take your team through on a consistent basis, because you got to fight for it. It's not going to happen by itself.
That drifting, that slipping will take place. And, you know, I think when you think about trying to build a team environment without Reds, it's the strategy of pursuing passionately and aggressively the grays that will help get you there. And you have to create a bigger gap between the Reds and the greens that causes then the Reds to recognize that behavior is unacceptable. It's not normalized here. You're not going to live in the majority on this team acting that way. Now, they will potentially live in the majority if you allow grays to linger. They may have gotten enough people that will sway to them that does become the majority. That does become the normalized. But when you get all the grays into the green and you aggressively pursue them, then all of a sudden that becomes an outlier. And you recognize, hey, listen, you are going to stand out if you act that way, because that is not normalized over here. We don't tolerate that. Then all of a sudden, when you now force them to make a decision that they either need to change and get with the program, or maybe this program's not for them. And that's certainly not our goal, to land in that place, but maybe that does become the reality of where it needs to land. But you'll never make Reds have that level of urgency to make that decision if you allow the grays just to linger and normalize their current position. Makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. I won't feel any angst to change my lifestyle, to change my behavior, if my behavior is kind of the norm, if my behavior is kind of what everybody's doing, or if I've got a huge army of people supporting me in that behavior. I'm not going to change my habit if I've got all these people affirming my habit and my behavior. It's when you begin to kind of ostracize them. And I know that word has a negative connotation, but it's not ostracizing them with the intent of excluding them, but it's letting them see, as you put them off to the side and say, that behavior is clearly different than what's acceptable. And if you want to be part of this, you're going to have to make the changes to get with us. And that fork in the road, that line in the sand decision-making moment for that player can only happen when you create clear delineation within the green, gray, and red, and you get grays up there with the greens further away from red. Then that's when the line in the sand comes. That's when the fork in the road decision comes. And it will not come if you allow the grays to linger. So going back to our original question, is playing it safe? Safe? Is just staying in the gray under the radar safe? Does it have consequences? I think for your team, the reality is it's probably going to lead you to a place you don't want to go. It's probably going to damage your culture over time. It may be safe for the individual, but it will not be safe for your team. Your team will not ever reach the level that you want to see your team reach, obviously, if they stay in the gray, but it'll get worse than you could even envision, because those grays will eventually sway down. You have to change your perspective. There's only one option on the green team. You better be all green. You better be all green. You know, last thing I'll say is this, you know, we were talking about this in one of our text chats yesterday, Kyle, about when you flirt with the line, you'll probably cross it.
That influence is heavy.
When you flirt with it, you probably will cross it. the thing about grays, they flirt too closely with the reds. They play that line too much because they want to be cool. Remember, they want to sway. They flirt with it too much. You will get burned. Grays will get burned over time because they're flirting too closely with the danger of red. And maybe not right away, and maybe not immediate. Will they experience some pain or hardship or some trouble or some struggle? You know, it's one of the messages we're having with our young people. You know, be really careful, and not to get off tangent, but like it's in line. You know, I tell people, like, society will try to bait you to the edge and then clown you if you cross the line. They will bait you to the 100% edge and clown you if you cross the line. I mean, think about drinking. Just using that as an example. You can't go anywhere in this world without being promoted drinking and the luxury of drinking and the Corona on the beach because it's glorious and it's relaxing, and you can't go to a sporting event and every major sponsor and every sporting event is an alcohol sponsor, and it is drinking, 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 happy hour specials, you name it, social events all around drinking, popping up of breweries and distilleries. I mean, it's drinking, drinking, drinking. But I tell you, if you drink and you make a bad decision, you'll get clowned.
Mm-hmm.
If you drink and make the mistake of driving, you will get tarnished of a reputation forever. They will push you and push you to the edge. But if you cross the line, which ironically will become more and more likely when they push you closer and closer to it, right?
Yeah.
Right. Then all of a sudden you get clowned. And that is what our young people are experiencing right now. They want to be good kids, but they also want to party hard on Friday night to be cool. They want to, you know, get a college scholarship, but they also want to, like, kind of live that thug life.
Right? Yeah. It goes back to affirmation and community.
And they want to live that thug life as well. And they're playing and flirting too close to the line. And I can speak firsthand, not going to get into the details, but it will cost you, and it may even cost you your life if you flirt too close to the line. Grays flirt too close to the line of red, and it hurts them at times. They will fall into the trap. They will land in there at a point where it'll actually backfire and cost them something. So you can't even flirt with the line if you're in the gray. You need to be all green. You can't risk it. We need everybody all in on your teams. Everybody needs to be all in. Gray does not cut it. Kyle, hope this episode shifted some perspectives for some coaches and for some individuals. I know it's certainly something we've been talking a lot about internally, a lot with our teams about just kind of the posture of gray as you go deeper into the green team. I think initially gray, you know, just being that neutral place is a great way to kind of entry in to the conversation of the green team and such. But as you begin to get deeper into the psychology, you realize gray actually tends to maybe not get the job done.
No, not at all.
And I was just with a corporate group out in Dallas, and the owner actually said to his team after the training, they're in a very highly competitive, cutthroat industry. He said, and I got news for you, gray in our industry puts us out of business real quick. We will not be here if we're gray. Fair point in that world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fair point in that world. So you got to change your perspective of gray. So anyways, hopefully this helped you just as you keep going deeper in the green team and really evaluating that middle area. Be intentional with them. Really, really be intentional with them. They may be doing things quietly that could be harming you and working against you greater than you even thought. Because on the surface, maybe they seem okay. They seem just fine and not bothersome. On behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, I am Adam. He is Kyle. Until next time, we are out.